Welcome to another edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live right here on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. That's the telephone number for you to give us a call. And Paulie DeTino, training camp week is here. The players arrive on Thursday, and first practice is Friday. Saturday, Sunday, 3 days in a row. We're probably not going to see pads until next week, but that's fine. It's finally getting going, and it's time to get a little bit excited.
You know, there are two hurdles that I have to clear over the course of the summer. The first one is when I get to flip June on the calendar in my office at home and it goes to July. That's the first one. That's a big one, because when I see July, I know training camp is close. And then when we finally get through the last weekend without any semblance of NFL football, which we have just concluded, and it wrapped up with the season 3 premiere of Ballers last night on HBO, which is just a terrible, terrible show, but I watch it every week anyway.
You watch? Really?
I'm
surprised you watch Ballers.
It's a bad show, but
honestly,
I watch it anyway.
I've jumped in and out of it. To me, it's basically Entourage, except with athletes. That's the premise of the show.
It's bad.
It is exactly what it is.
It's cotton candy. It's just bad. Anyway, got done with that last night and woke up this morning and said, hey, it's training camp week. Let's go, baby. So, John, I'm ready.
All right, folks, so you want to give us a call, give us your training camp predictions. Bold predictions would be great. Something you think that's unexpected that might happen, or even if it's just something you're looking for, you have questions about what's coming, we are going to take a look at training camp and get ready to roll today. After today, I'm probably not going to be on until next week. It'll be Paul Lentz and Fiegels the rest of the way, and we'll bring you up until camp. It should be a lot of fun, and I'm sure some of you have asked me on Twitter, so I'll tell you right off the top. I was not out last week because my wife gave birth. She did not. She is still quite pregnant, so when it comes, I will be gone. I saved my vacation until last week for the purpose of if she came early, I would be off from work, but that did not occur.
Is the painting done?
The painting is done.
This is good.
Yes, but my contractor work is not done because the guy called on Monday. He had to go into the hospital last week, so that work did not get done. That'll get done next week, unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're cutting it close. Nevertheless, she is ready to go. I'm ready for her to go, but the baby is not ready to go, and that's really all that matters when you get down to it. So
understood.
The due date's August 3rd, so we're still about 10 days out. We got some time, but training camp is here. Stuff's happening. 201-939-4513. Paul, our cover 3 question today on Giants.com that come up by Dan Salamone. I'm not sure if it got posted yet.
Oh.
Was give me one bold prediction for Giants training camp this year. I'm going to give you what mine was, and I want to see if you would qualify it as a bold prediction or not. Because I'm not sure if it is.
For camp or for the season?
It was for camp.
For camp. Okay.
So I treated it as a position battle type thing.
Okay.
And that's how I looked at it.
Okay.
So I went with the Giants will keep 4 tight ends on the roster, and none of those 4 will be Will Tye. Do you consider that a bold prediction?
No, because I think that's what's going to happen.
Damn. And I wrote the story. I go, look, bold predictions are hard because it has to be something that's theoretically possible, but also something that I think is uncommon. And it is uncommon for the Giants to keep 4 tight ends.
Well, they've done it once before, 2 years ago.
I said uncommon. I didn't say impossible.
Yeah, I don't think that's that far off the path. I think it's got to be it's got to be way out there on a detour sign.
All right. Well, give me your bold prediction way out there on a detour sign, and I will try to come up with another one.
How about, this would be a bit of a stretch, but it could happen. Maybe it's not that far off the path. Maybe I'm falling into your same trap.
Fluker?
Robert Thomas will emerge as one of the stars of training camp at defensive tackle and actually outplay Tomlinson.
I would not be surprised if Robert Thomas is the starter week one. I agree with you on that.
So that's not that far off.
Would you
that's
go?
That's kind of.
How about, I see, I think Fluker beating out Jerry would be a bolder prediction. Are you willing to go there? He's your guy.
You know what? John Jerry's the incumbent. They've been very happy with his pass protection over the course of time. I think Fluker could steal that job from him at some point during the season, so I do think it's bold to suggest he will do it during training camp.
Okay.
I would say that's bold enough.
Okay.
Yeah.
The problem with this team, and Giant fans, this is a good problem to have, by the way, is that there are so many things that are in the bag, for lack of a better term, things that we know that – look, I mean, we know who the top three quarterbacks are. There's no battle for the nickel quarterback spot. We know who that person is. There's no battle for the third wide receiver spot. We know who that's going to be. Middle linebacker is a question, but, I mean, if you're picking somebody to be the starting middle linebacker that's not B.J. Goodson, I guess that would be a somewhat bold prediction at some point.
How about the fourth Keenan corner's Robinson not here?
Be.
How about that?
I'm sorry?
The fourth corner's not here yet.
Okay, I think that would be okay. I think that'd be okay. That B.J. Goodson is a three-down linebacker, I think would be a bold prediction.
I would think so, too.
If he would knock Keenan Robinson off the field on third down,
that would be a very bold prediction.
I think that would be bold.
I think it might be rather foolish as well.
I didn't say it was a good prediction. I said it was a bold prediction. I just don't think there's that much that we don't know about this team. They're good. This team is good.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm thinking.
It's not easy, right?
You want a bold prediction?
Yeah,
and
sure.
I don't have any belief in this one. But it would qualify.
Okay.
It would qualify. Gallman comes out of training camp as a regular rotation back, not just a spot duty back, but rotation back.
So he'd split carries at Perkins.
That would be a bold prediction.
That would be
bold. And I don't think that will happen.
Neither do I. How about this? A player other than Brandon Marshall will have the second most receptions on the team. Would you consider – you're right, that's more of a season prediction. You're right. No, that's fair. That's fair. That's more of a season prediction. No, I agree with you. That's fair.
I will say this, you know, during the course of the preseason, we've seen a number of guys who have put up some numbers, and Corey Washington comes to mind a few years ago, caught a touchdown pass in every one of the preseason games that year and then disappeared, basically. So will there be – how about this one? A bold prediction is going to be who's going to be that coming out of nowhere preseason star
right.
who may not have a role on the team. And every year there's one guy who does seem to really do something in the preseason, and if he makes the team – okay, maybe he's worthy enough to get on the 53, but for example, Corey Washington barely got a uniform the whole season.
It's true. It's very true.
I know. And if you want to pick out a guy who could do that, that would be a bold prediction.
Well, who is your surprise preseason game player this year?
I tell you what, I think this guy's going to have a really good preseason. I think he'll make the team, and in fact, he may catch only two passes the whole season. I think Travis Rudolph could be that guy.
That's what I was going to go with, too.
Yeah.
That's what I was going to go
he
with,
He could have
to
a terrific preseason and barely get a jersey during
well,
the year.
Well, how about this? And I'm
or
not
barely
sure,
get any catches.
I'm not sure if this is bold or not, but if he stays healthy, I think we could see Matt LaCoste have a big preseason.
Yeah.
And he really he's had big springs. Has he really had any big preseasons because of his injury problems? No, he hasn't.
And quite frankly, if they do keep four tight ends, it's certainly more than likely on a number of weekends that fourth tight end may not dress.
Yeah, I'd say more than likely, to be honest with you. It's hard to get four tight ends on the 53 every
season. So that would be a really good prediction because if he does put up some numbers in the preseason, that doesn't mean he's going to get a jersey. So he could easily disappear but still be on the team.
All right, folks, you can give us any of the above. We just touched on a bunch of different things. Big preseason player, the bold prediction for camp, anything you want to talk about, we can do all of that right here on Big Blue Kickoff Live on Giants.com. 201-939-4513. We got a bank full of calls. People are excited for the season to be back, so let's get to it and start off with John down in Jacksonville. Hi, John. How are you?
How you doing, guys? How you doing, Paul?
Hello. Well, good, John. What's up?
How's your pop doing, Paul?
Outstanding. Thanks very much for asking. You know him?
Yeah, I told you I work with him at the Giants Stadium.
Yes, I do remember your call last time. Thank you.
All right, tell him I said hello, huh?
I will.
All right, listen, my bold prediction, first of all, John, I agree with you on your bold prediction. I don't think it's a bold prediction. I think everybody agrees with you. I consider Ellison a rotational, like, fullback, but he's going to be the fourth tight end.
I agree.
LaCoste, Ingram, and Adams, and Ty is out. My bold prediction is because, and Charlie, if you're listening, don't have a heart attack. Flowers is going to shine because he took up boxing. He took up the punch. He's leaner. He got his footwork. And he's going to show up this year. There's no doubt in my mind. And Hart's not going to be too far behind.
I don't know that's really a very much of a bold prediction. I think the evidence is in place to have him improve. So I would argue that that's not very bold. But I will say this.
I think the bigger problem is that how do you quantify that? I mean,
if he goes to the Pro Bowl, that's a bold prediction.
Correct. I'm not sure if there's.
Listen, as long as he's serviceable, I'll be happy.
Right. That's the thing. I just don't know how you can quantify that a guy has, quote-unquote, arrived or not. It's kind of more just the eye test and the scouting thing more than anything else.
It's interesting
that's a bold prediction.
It's interesting you bring him up, though, because A.J. Marshall has just tweeted us saying his training camp bold prediction is that Adam Biznovati will beat out Bobby Hart.
That's a good
to
one.
To win the right tackle spot.
That is a very good bold prediction. I like that.
That is
one.
Bold.
That's pretty good.
That is definitely off the road.
Wow. Okay, guys, that's all I got to say.
Thank you.
You guys got a great show. And, again, I'll be calling in from time to time. And go blue.
John, we look forward to hearing from you. Thanks for being part of the show. That is a good bold one. I like that. Biznovati?
Sure. I really like that guy. The coaches seem to really love him. I think it's asking a lot for him to beat out Bobby Hart right away. But maybe over the course of the season, who knows?
201-939-4513. Back to the phones. Ken is in New Jersey. What's up, Ken? How are you? Ken going once. Ken going twice. Or is this Adam or Abdul, maybe? Anybody?
Hello? Anybody there?
We're going to say goodbye to Ken. Dave, we'll go back to Ken later. Let's go to Adam in Baltimore. He's up next.
Okay.
Hey, Adam.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Hello. Doing well, Adam. How are you?
Good, thanks. Bold prediction. I'm thinking three undrafted free agents make the team.
What three? What three do you like, Adam?
Go for it.
Calvin Munson at backup Mike.
Ooh. Okay. Go ahead. That's one.
Adam? Did we lose Adam? I think we lost Adam. Adam, give us a call back.
He's gone.
We will make sure we put you right back up if you call back into the show. Sanal, we lost you there.
The linebacker spot, John, is really tight. I'm not sure that there's going to be a spot for a newcomer to slip in there. Bless you.
Thank you. I agree. That's why you have a cough button. Also works as a sneeze button, by the way.
Yes.
but, yeah, it really is. I mean,
if you're
assuming Herzlick's on the roster with Robinson and Casillas and Goodson, you got your four right there.
Kennard.
Yeah, you're right. He's a good linebacker. Yeah. And I don't know if you're with how seldomly they play linebackers. Are you keeping six? Probably not, right? That's why I said it's
Max.
So hard to find these bold predictions.
Max is six.
I know.
You know, I think they probably would try, but I don't know.
Tough, right?
That's a reach for me to think that Munson would do it. That is a reach.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones and say what up to Abdul in Minnesota. Hi, Abdul.
Hey, guys. You guys already took two of my bold predictions already. My first one was the cost of one of the two starting tight ends in week one.
Oh, Abdul, you took it a step further. I didn't call him a starter. So good for you. That's bold.
I'm worried about Ellis's calf. That calf thing, for some reason, I think it might start barking, so I'm not sure if Ellis will start the season because of that calf injury.
You are a real doomsayer, aren't you? Don't be talking about those kinds of things.
Hey, all right, okay.
Wow.
I'll be positive. Lacoste would be so good that he'll force his way onto the starting.
Hey, you don't have to sell me on Matt Lacoste. I've been preaching this guy for 3 years now.
Hey, you know what? In theory, by the way, Abdul, just to try to give you a little bit of a better shot here, if the Giants come out and start the year in a running formation in 12 personnel, they could theoretically not have Evan Engram on the field if they want to run it. So, in theory, that has a shot of being pulled off.
It means if Ellison's healthy, it's either Lacoste or Adams running at the other tight end spot.
If you're in a run formation to start the game.
Now, if Ellison's hurt, like he said, now if you're in a run formation, you got to go Adams-Lacoste.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, and my second one was Biznavati beating at Hart. He just seems like he has more power, from what I've seen, just at the initial engagement. And I've liked what I've seen, with his tape. He might have a step in Hart already. Even though Hart has worked his tail off, he was a seventh-round draft pick for a reason. So I think Biznavati might have that little edge of nastiness and a little more aggression there for Hart.
Biznavati's a late draft pick, too, now, so don't use that as a reason. That doesn't work real well.
Yeah, but I think he was injured. I think preseason he was looked at as a higher draft pick than he was. So, anyway. But you're right. He was a fifth-round draft pick, so he wasn't as you said, he wasn't the first round. And my crazy one, I was giving my Jet fan friends some grief last week, and I predicted that Geno Smith might pull a Hostetler and win a Super Bowl with the Giants.
Okay, let me make something clear. We're asking for bold predictions, not crazy ones.
I hear you. I was just giving my Jet fans grief because they deserve it. But my serious ones are Biznavati and lacrosse. Right, take care, guys.
Thank you, Joel.
Hey, I don't think Giant fans would mind that last one coming true. I think they'd be okay with that.
Look, I think any fan of any team wants their team to win the Super Bowl, and they don't necessarily care who does it.
No, why would you?
Who makes it happen?
No, why would you?
They just want to win.
Correct.
But
I'm not saying it's going to happen. I'm just saying Giant fans would be okay with it.
That's quite a ways off the road.
Yep.
A long ways off the road.
Knock on wood.
With all due respect.
201-939-4513. Let's go back to the phones. I think Abdul knew he was off-roading on that one a little bit.
Yeah, I think so, too.
Let's go to Bash in Ohio. What's up, Bash?
How we doing, John? What's going on?
Hi. What up?
Everything's good. Bold prediction I got that Eli will be in the MVP running, will be an MVP candidate, and may win MVP this year.
Give me top three, top five. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking winning the MVP. If not winning, then in the top three.
All right. I think Eli top three MVP would certainly qualify as a bold prediction.
Yeah. It's not totally implausible at the same time, being that he gets disrespected a lot. It's the long shot. So, interesting.
That's right. And also I have a question, a fact or fiction for both of y'all.
Okay.
Dealing with Eli as far as over under, as far as I know, looking at Eli's stats and looking at his interceptions, Eli don't really get credit for a lot that he does. Eli, a lot of his interceptions is due to bad O line play, bad routing, running from the wide receivers, and a couple was due to, as far as a lot of his interceptions, due to bad line or bad receivers or not running the routes and not having connection as far as that. So I'm going to see as far as over and under, as far as 10 interceptions this season. Under 10 or over 10, as far as under 10 interceptions this season.
So you're going
under
10. I
think he only did it one time his whole career. Like one time he threw, I think, like 8 or 9, one time.
I know, Bash, I'm sorry. I know Giant fans aren't going to like it. You have to go over there. I mean, there's no evidence out there to make you think that he's going to throw under 10. I mean, it would be great if he did, and I'm sure that's a goal. But based on what he's done over the course of his career and the high-risk passes he tends to throw, because he's a brave guy who wants to make plays, I have to go over there.
And you also have to understand, too, he's not going to be shy about throwing the ball in traffic.
Correct.
When he's looking at Odell. Because he knows Odell can make those plays.
Or Brandon Marshall.
Brandon Marshall has a big wingspan. He's going to be willing to throw it in traffic to him. Ingram, we've heard nothing but wonderful things about his ability to make big plays in a passing game. So he's going to probably be looking to force the ball to him sometimes when maybe he shouldn't. To me, honestly, I think Eli in the 13-14 interception range is probably a decent and a fair number for him.
Well, okay, I'm going to build on Bash's question then. Eli Manning, 13 interceptions, over or under?
Well, that's the number I just gave
you. I know.
13-14, that's where it's going to be. If the Giants can run the ball more.
I want you to give me an answer. Don't dodge the question. Over or under 13, Paul. That was a nice try, by the way. You're not getting away with it.
I'll go under.
Okay. And that, by the way, if he goes under 13, it'll be the fewest interceptions he's thrown since back in 2008. He has only been under 14 twice in his career.
Yeah.
Once was 08, and then the other time was 04 when he didn't play the full season. So.
Didn't Eli have a season where he threw under 10 one season? I think he threw like 9 or 8 or 9 one season, like early in his career.
Bash, that was the first year of his career and only started 10 games that year, so that doesn't count.
I think, to be honest with you, if the Giants' running game gets anything going this year, that will reduce the number of attempts that he has, and that could bring a number down. If you think he's going to throw 13, 14, 15, you could probably take a couple off of that number if he's going to throw, let's say, 55, 60 less passes. You know what I mean?
Thank you, Bash.
Thanks.
Have a good day. How about this? Eli Manning, over under 63% completion percentage.
Oh, I think over with the skill position guys he's got.
He's only done that once in his career.
Yeah, I think he'd go over with that though. Given the fact that you've added Marshall, you've added Ingram, Vereen's coming back. Yeah, I like his targets this year. I think he could get that up a little bit.
I think he'll go over 63 too, to be honest with you. I'm with you on that. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Florida and say hi to Mike. What's going on, Mike? How are you, buddy?
Hello. Hey guys, one of the previous callers said this in the same joking manner that I'm going to do. But I talked to some Jet fans, and they think that Geno Smith will do better in Ben McAdoo's offense than anybody thinks. Apparently it resembles a little bit of Marty Morningwing's offense. Now, I've never seen Geno play, so I can't comment on that. So that was one. The other is a call from some folks out in the San Diego area, and they say there's a reason that Fluker got cut. They don't think Fluker will make the team. So
wow.
I'm going to go with that as a bold prediction.
I like that. All right, Mike,
I would be
in Florida,
totally flabbergasted if that does not happen.
And that's why it's a bold prediction.
It's Fluker more than bold.
Not on 53. So who do you think they'll keep, Mike, as their backup swing guard if they decide
to
let Fluker go?
I'm not certain about that one. I think that's going to be determined in training camp.
Okay. And there are a couple guys that could do it. Obviously, you got a bunch of guys here that have done jobs like that before.
Well, Brett Jones is a backup guard if need be.
Right, center/guard. And that's the other thing you got to question, too, is will they keep 8 guys active on game day on the offensive line? Will you keep a swing tackle and then you have a guard and a center? Because Fluker ain't playing center. So you're going to have Brett Jones active as your backup center. And you're going to have, in theory, Adam Biznavati as your backup swing tackle. In theory,
guys,
if he has the job.
I think maybe the answer to that question will be developed at the end of training camp. If it looks as if the Giants' running game is really going to improve, and I think that will determine who they might keep. And my other bold prediction is that the Giants will double. I think they only scored, 6 running touchdowns last year. So I think I'd go 12.
Okay.
Oh.
That's not bad.
Yeah, that's a good bold prediction. I like that one.
12 rushing. I'm starting to write these down just for
that's
fun.
A good
so
one.
We can take a look at these at the end of the year.
Is that it?
Okay, guys.
Thank
that's
you.
It. That's all I have.
That's great, Mike. Thank you.
One of our callers got cut off before, John.
Oh.
He was talking about Munson.
He called back in.
Well, did he call back? I have. He gave us a tweet.
Oh, okay.
He says undrafted free agents. He's got Munson at linebacker. He's got Jadar Johnson making it at safety, and he's got Chad Wheeler making it at tackle.
And that was Dave in Baltimore, right?
Yeah, those are his.
So Munson, linebacker.
Munson, Johnson, and Wheeler. He's got those three guys. Why would you not have, of your three undrafted rookie free agents to make the team, why would you not have Travis Rudolph? When I think everybody.
He's being bold.
Well, I guess, yeah, that's probably why. He's trying to be bold, so he doesn't want to pick the favorite, because he's certainly
that.
The favorite of the guys to make it.
Hey, Dave, are these your bold predictions? Okay. I want to read Dave Dominic's, our producer's, bold predictions here.
Okay.
Because he put them on the sheet. Why not? Let's have fun with it.
What do you got?
All right, Dave Dominic, number one. 6 Giants will make the Pro Bowl this year. Here are his 6. Beckham, Eli, Landon Collins, Janoris Jenkins, Snacks Harrison, and then four. Vernon, JPP, Apple, DRC.
How is that bold?
6 is a lot.
If you think the Giants,
he's naming five of them. That's pretty good.
But if you think the Giants are going to be a playoff team, then they'll probably have between 4 and 6.
Now, Dave, here's a question. Does this count replacements, or are we talking initial vote? This whole replacement stuff drives me nuts.
I know. They go six deep sometimes.
105 guys make the Pro Bowl every year now because everyone's dropping out of the game.
I know.
So I will put that out there. The Giants will lead the division wire to wire after week one win over Dallas.
That's bold. Now, it's possible. It's also bold. Dave, I give you big thumbs up on that one. That's a really good one.
I'm going to write that one down because I like that one.
That's a really good one.
NFC East. All right. And then his third one, Evan Ingram will have more than 100 targets and be second on the team. That is also bold.
That is also a bold one. I can't see it happening, but again, it's bold, and it's—I suppose it's not totally out of the question. But
I like that one.
I would tend to think not.
Dave, I got to tell you, those are some top quality bold predictions.
Two and three are better than one, but because I think one is kind of almost really really too possible for me to be bold.
Right.
Anyway,
let's go to Mark in Chicago. He's up next. Hi, Mark. How are you, buddy? Good to hear from you.
Hey, good to hear. Good to talk to you guys.
Hi.
Hey, John, I have a question for you. Looking for ways to induce labor? I got a few suggestions if you want.
Keep it clean for me, Mark.
All right. Well, let's just put it this way. Cheap Asian food, high MSG Asian food.
Okay.
And repeating how you got there at the beginning.
I know where you're going. Okay.
Okay. All right. So, anyway, tried and true, by the way.
Okay,
so,
understood.
Anyway.
I have heard that before.
Bold predictions, you know, they're pretty tough, and somebody took my initial one. I think Davis Webb will emerge as the number two quarterback after training camp.
That's a good one.
All right. So, anyway, I have a couple of non-season questions that have been rattling around in my brain.
Go ahead.
That I just wanted to get out there before the season starts and
sure.
We go down that track. Paul, about a month or two ago, you made a statement, I think, that you said a right-handed quarterback has a right-handed power running game. Is that accurate, what I heard, and if so, why?
Usually what happens when a right-handed quarterback comes back to hand the ball off, the way he pivots off of his left foot and then hands the ball with his left hand as his offhand to the running back. Usually that's the way it works. Most quarterbacks in the league are right-handed, and therefore most offensive lines are then also built to be strong side right to take advantage of that formation.
See now that to me is interesting, because to me you would want to have your right-handed quarterback play action to the left so they can roll out to the right on bootlegs, and it's easier for the right-handed quarterback to roll out in that direction so you're not throwing against your body.
I've never asked why. I just know that that's the way it's done.
That's interesting. Okay, fair enough.
All right. And then the other question I had was, you know, and it came up this week when I was looking at Giants chat, and somebody had a picture of, like, LT and Banks and those guys in their pads at training camp. And the thing that struck me was how different the size of the pads are these days. I mean, they're much, much smaller.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking, you know, is it because of changes in technology or materials? And could that also lend itself to why there are more injuries that – pad sizes are going down.
Well, I'm sure the technology has gotten better, but I also can tell you for sure that these players don't want to wear pads. I mean, they want to wear as little padding as possible so they can run and be as fast as possible. So, they had to put rules in about, you know, thigh pads and knee pads and leg pads a few years ago because the players just didn't want to wear them. Because they didn't want to, you know, basically affect their speed. So these guys are trying to limit the amount of padding they have, to be honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
I get that, but doesn't it lead to more injuries?
Well, it can, and I think that's why the league put those rules in to force the amount of padding they have to wear.
You know, not every player wants to do what's good for him.
That's true. Absolutely.
All right. Hey, thanks, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Thank you, Mark. Appreciate the call.
All right, bye.
201-939-4513. We're rapid firing through the calls here, folks. So if you want to get in, we do have a couple open lines if you want to chime in on the phones. Let's go to Charles in New Mexico. What's up, Charles?
Hey, guys. How are you?
Hi. What's up, man?
I'm good. So quick, bold predictions, okay?
Yep.
Fluker's going to be a starter. And I'm behind my boy Eric Flowers here from New Mexico. He's going to be a Pro Bowler, dude.
Pro Bowler this year?
This year, yeah.
Wow. That would be quite a jump.
Yeah, honestly, and Charles, I'm being completely sincere here, and this is not me being like, you know, a jerk and trying to be mean and nasty. If Eric Flowers this year can manage not to be the worst left tackle in the division, that to me is a great step in the right direction, only because the three left tackles
they're
in the division are all fantastic.
Yeah,
so
they're all good.
Try to be on the same level as the other guys in the division. If you can get close to those guys, I think it's a successful year for Flowers.
And probably a good year for Eli and the Giants.
You would think, because Trent Williams, Jason Peters, and Tyron Smith are obviously all very, very good left tackles.
Yes, they are.
And those guys are all Pro Bowl caliber players.
Yes, they are.
All right. Well, that was just my prediction. You guys have a great day. I'm at work. I got to go. All
okay,
right?
Go get it, Charles. Thanks, man.
Right.
Our
appreciate
phone
it.
Lines have not been this active in I don't want to say since minicamp, but really, it's been that long. They are really smoking today.
Camp week.
Folks, I'm glad you're feeling the power. Let's go.
I'm glad you're feeling the power. Oh, Paulie Dotz, you're the best. 201-939-4513. Let's go to Chris down in Texas. What's going on, Chris?
How are you today?
We're doing great. How are you?
Great. Friday can't come soon enough. I'm not excited about Thursday because, I mean, that's just physicals, but Friday can't come soon enough.
Well,
so
I guarantee you, Paul has his Nikes ready. He'll be out there doing
one
the conditioning
offense, one
test.
One defense, and then an added one. On offense, I think this is bold. Wayne Gallman's going to average 11 carries this year, by the end of the year.
11 a game?
11 carries, yeah, a game average. I
that
know
is
that's
bold.
Very, very bold.
That is very bold.
I just believe. Go ahead.
That's very bold. That goes into what I said before about him maybe getting into the regular rotation. That would be akin to being a semi-regular player.
Right.
Yeah, I think. And coming from that Clemson program, and he wasn't a one-hit wonder. I mean, he had several years that he did very well.
This is true.
I like his attitude from what I've seen. I believe in that kid. So that's my bold one on offense. Defense, I think Andrew Adams is going to start the season at free safety. I think that injury with Thompson is definitely going to affect him. So I think Adams is going to start.
That's I agree bold. With that. I think that's bold.
That's bold.
And then the last one, I wanted to agree with the guy a couple of calls ago about Webb being the number two. I just can't see him starting the season at two. But, Paulie, when you said last week that your prediction about Webb getting some snaps this year,
yes.
I agree. I think that's my third bold prediction. I think he's going to get some snaps. Who knows? Maybe if the Giants do have a real successful year, maybe they cut one of the number two quarterbacks or waive him, you know, midseason towards the end of the year, and Webb steps in that place, and then we get an extra guy, you know, on the roster for the playoffs. I mean, that's my mm-hmm. thoughts.
Thank you, Chris.
Right, take care.
Appreciate it.
You know, we're getting a lot of love here for Gallman, and you want a good bold prediction for Gallman would be that he leads the Giants in touchdowns scored this year. Now, he is a rushing touchdown machine coming out of Clemson.
I would say rushing touchdowns. If he gets more touchdowns than Odell Beckham Jr., that, to me, is as bold as you get. I mean, Beckham's going to get double-digit touchdowns here. Come on.
Are we sure with the weaponry that Eli has, the ability to spread it around?
Yes.
Shepard.
Yes.
And Ingram.
Yes.
And Marshall.
Yes.
Beckham's good for
yes.
what? What do you think? 14? 15?
Minimum 12.
Okay. Now,
Coleman's not getting 12 rushing touchdowns.
I was going to say, if he turns into, that's why it's bold, if he turns into, well, at Clemson, what did he run for, 19 last year?
I know, but that's great. It's a college. In college, Clemson's scoring
it.
50 points
and
a game.
And I'm not, by the way, I don't believe this would ever happen.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't.
Okay.
But you want another bold prediction off of Coleman. If he becomes the touchdown or the goal line back.
Right.
It's entirely possible he runs for 8, 9, 10, 11. Certainly could.
201-939-4513. What's your bold prediction? Give us a call. John in Connecticut on line 2. He's up next. What's up, John? How are you, buddy?
What's good? How's it going?
Nothing much, man. What's happening?
I got a few bold predictions, all right?
Go ahead.
Number one, Eli Manning is going to be the league leader in offensive passing yards with 5,500 yards.
50, whoa,
one.
You said 5,500? 5,500.
going to spread the ball around. Everybody's catching it. Everybody's
if that happens,
going yard.
You understand the Giants are not making the playoffs.
No, yeah, they are.
That means he's throwing the ball 55 times a game.
Do you know how many yards 5,500 yards is?
And that means they're running for about 25 yards a week.
Yeah, but they'd be default scoring. If Eli's throwing for 5,500 yards, they're scoring 30 points a game.
That means, A, they're not running the ball at all, and, B, they're probably behind a lot because he's got to start chucking it around the yard.
Or just means that they're like the Saints from 5 years ago and scoring 30 points a game.
Okay, I don't think that's likely. But okay.
Well, I don't think he's throwing 5,500 yards either. I'm not crazy. That would be a new NFL record, right?
I don't even know what the last record is now.
I'll look that up.
It's been snapped a few times the last decade.
Peyton, I think, owns it in one of his final years. Anyway,
Breeze threw over 55. I think so too.
What's your second prediction, John?
I think Marshall and OBJ are each going to have a 200-yard game.
Okay, I could see that.
Ooh, that's a good one.
I think that's actually a good one.
That's plausible, not likely, but plausible. I like that one.
Maybe 200 per game. Just kidding.
Now you're off the board. But 200 each guy with 200. Yeah,
I like that.
That's a good one.
Thank you. And I think it's time for JPP to get back into at least the teenage sack number.
So 13 is what you're saying?
So JPP minimum 13 sacks?
Not double digits, but yeah, getting back to having, you know.
I don't think that's that bold.
I do.
You do? I don't think it's that bold. I think that's very plausible.
How many times has JPP had 13 sacks in his career? Once?
I want to say he's had double digits three times.
He's had double digits twice, 12.5 and 16.5. Yeah. So I think 13 for him, I think, would be a bold prediction,
okay.
In my opinion.
Okay. Not very bold, but maybe a little bit.
It's mild.
Done? Is that it?
Thank you, John.
He's done.
Appreciate the
call.
Thank you. 201-939-4513. And by the way, if Eli Manning, those were 5,500 yards, it would set a new all-time NFL single-season record.
Peyton
threw for 5,477 in 2013, and Breeze threw for, Breeze is throwing for 5,000 yards five times.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's why I said right away, Breeze
Holy
was the first name came
Toledo.
To mind.
What
does that tell you, by the way? How many Super Bowls has Breeze won?
One.
You don't throw for 5,000 yards and start collecting jewelry. It
and
doesn't
by the way,
happen.
The year he threw for 5,000 yards, they did win the Super Bowl, just FYI.
Okay. Boing. I lost a little bit of my steam on that argument. But
at least I think they did.
It's not a good thing.
What was the year they won the Super Bowl? The Saints? Do you remember off the top of your head? I think
no,
it was 2008, right?
I can't even remember.
That sounds right, maybe. Maybe it was more recent than that. I don't know.
Who else we got?
I want to see who else is on this list here. Hold on. Other 5,000-yard passing seasons, Marino in 84. Again, like I said, Drew Brees did it five times. Brady in 2011, when the Patriots made the Super Bowl, threw for 5,200 yards.
And they lost.
I think Giant fans are signed up for going to the Super Bowl right now, Paul. Just saying.
No, you don't want to go and lose. You want to win.
Shut up. Matthew Stafford threw for 5,000 in 2011. Peyton, I mentioned, only one 5,000-yard season, believe it or not. I figured he would have had more than one. And so it's only been Breeze, Peyton, Stafford, Brady, Marino.
And by the way, Twitter is blowing up with bold predictions for us. And I know the callers are flooding in as well, but we should get to some of these later.
Is that 2009 regular season, Dave? Okay, so I think I might be wrong that Breeze did not. Let me see. Did Breeze throw for – no, Breeze threw for 5,000 yards the season before they won the Super Bowl. Pardon me. Thank you for that,
okay.
Dave. 201-939-4513. So you have a little bit more steam back now. Let's go. Let's go to Len in Columbia, Maryland. And Paul's going to start getting our web ones here ready to go
okay.
For bowl predictions. What's up, Len? How are you?
Hey guys, how you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
You coming up, Len?
Good. Yeah, coming up on training camp. Holy cow, man! This is getting close. First of all, the Giants have had a great offseason.
Yeah.
Just a great offseason. And you know, we got to be super positive going into this with all the good things that happened, and you guys had great coverage of it. Thank you, appreciate it.
Well, thank you,
really appreciate it.
Thank you for watching it. We appreciate it.
You know, week one and of the off season, you know, you kept us up to date and did a nice job.
Thank
Always
you.
A good listen, guys.
Appreciate
listen,
it.
Listen, a couple of bold predictions for you. One bold, and one a little conservative bold. First of all, the bold. And it relates to Eli.
Okay.
And my prediction is Eli will complete 70% of his passes and throw for 40 touchdowns. And my conservative bold is that Brandon Marshall will give me 60 catches, 800 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
That's not bold at all.
That is very plausible. No?
Well,
very plausible, man.
I will on January 2nd, the day after the last game, we'll talk again and see if Brandon gives us those kinds of numbers.
That is plausible.
Yes.
No doubt.
I'm sorry?
That is very plausible.
Yeah, I think so.
The Eli
I'll be happy
one.
With that. I think if we
Boy.
Get those numbers both in from Eli and from Brandon Marshall, we're really going to be humming. We're going a long way in January. Hey, listen, one of my favorite players, or I should say one of the guys I'm rooting for, probably living on the edge going into training camp, and I want to know what you guys think. Kerry Wynn's got to do to make this roster. Just kind of adopted Kerry from back in his high school days. Some friends and acquaintances lived around where Kerry went to high school, told mm-hmm. me about him. So I started following him and then all the way to college and with the Giants. So I know it's pretty close here now. He's not going to turn into Michael Strahan. So, you know, we know that. But give me an idea what you think Kerry's got to do to make this team.
He's a show-me player, Len. I mean, he's got some tremendous competition in front of him.
Devin Taylor
from the Lions. I know they brought him here for a reason. Romeo Okwara, who had terrific flashes last year.
I mean, just
for starters. And we're not even addressing the fact that we don't know what's happening with O.R. Digizua right now.
Yeah.
It's going to be tight. Kerry Wynn, in my mind, better really have a big-time preseason or he is in jeopardy. He's going to be a show-me bubble player.
And, Len, I'll be a little more specific. And I think when you talk about what he needs to do to make it, I think what gets Kerry Wynn on this team is reliability. Will he be the guy that never misses an assignment? That no matter where you put him.
Actually, I think he's that kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
I think he knows where he's supposed to get to.
Right, but Len, I think it's not just
what he's
an
supposed
end.
To do. I don't think he'll miss that.
Len, here's the thing. Yeah, that's the thing, Len.
He needs to
be able to do it at every position. It can't just be a left end. It can't just be at right end. It can't just be at the three technique. He needs to be the guy that can play any one of those defensive line spots and be where he has to be at all times.
You know what, though, John? And I didn't even leave. I left out Avery Moss, another defensive end in the mix. It just makes the mountain very hard for Kerry Wynn to climb. But here's the thing. Devin Taylor, to me, is the kind of guy who really puts Kerry Wynn in a bad position because Taylor has shown the ability to get after the quarterback. He's shown the ability to move up and down different spots on the line.
Yeah.
That's the guy, to me, that Kerry Wynn's got to overcome.
Well, Paul, and that's the thing, because I think all of us would agree here that Devin Taylor probably has more raw physical ability and talent than Wynn. That's why Wynn has to be the guy that's more trustworthy, because he's been here longer, he knows the system better, and that's where I think he has to come out on top.
Yeah.
You know, I know Kerry has gotten onto the field for special teams play. I'd love to know what they think about him as a special teams player. One thing that has stood out to me.
He's a great guy, by the way. Great
special teams
teammate.
Player. On kickoff returns, this guy does more than a decent job in blocking. I'd love to know what the coach thinks about that. But, you know, just my observation. I watch him a lot when he's on the field again. You know, one of these things where he's my favorite, so I watch him and sees what happens. He can make a little bit of a difference on special teams. Well, I'm rooting for the guy. Hope it works out for him. Hey, listen, go Giants. Take some of the other callers, and we'll be talking soon, guys.
Appreciate the call.
All right.
Thanks.
201-939-4513. 201-939-4513. Charlie is in Portland, Maine. And, Charlie, I haven't talked to you in a while.
I got a bad feeling about this.
Hallelujah.
Losing his mind.
Mr. Illness.
He wasn't right in the hat.
Enough jokes.
I am happy.
You're a madman.
And here we go.
What do you got for us, Chuck?
Hey, John, I hope you had a nice vacation.
I did.
Hey,
thank you.
Dot.
good. Hey, I got a couple bold predictions. You're probably not going to like it, but here we go.
We don't have to like them.
Eric Flowers and Bobby Hart will not be our starting tackles week one against the Dallas Cowboys.
Neither one.
Who starts, Charlie?
Hey, well that's the question. I think we're going to bring a veteran in, and they'll start at left tackle, and they'll realize that Bobby Hart is not a tackle, and we'll end up with possibly Flowers, because he might be at right tackle, but he's not going to be starting left tackle, or it will be Izzy Wadi taking over.
Charlie, just one second before you get to number two. To suggest that they're going to bring in a veteran walking in off the street at the end of the summer and start him week one at left tackle would not only be a very crazy thing to do, it would be incredibly dangerous for your starting quarterback.
Well, it depends on who it is. And
it doesn't matter who it is. He's not going to be of Anthony Munoz type ability.
Well, hey, you never know. They might trade for somebody with that ability. All I'm saying is that's my prediction. All right?
It's bold.
We'll put that on the board. If
it's bold. He's got it. It's bold.
It's on there.
Okay. And the other one is I think Michael Thompson will be our fourth cornerback.
Michael Thompson. Now, that is a very interesting, bold prediction. And you know what, Charlie? I will tell you. That one actually has some teeth to it because we have seen him play some nickel.
He said fourth cornerback?
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, quite frankly, he's necessarily the fourth corner in name, but he certainly could wind up playing some slot because they're trying him there. So that's not crazy.
Yeah, well, the reason I say that is because he can play both safety and cornerback.
Yeah.
And if he can stay healthy, I think he could be the multi-purposeful player like Hall was last year, and better than Hall, actually, if he can stay healthy, and we'll have our fourth guy.
He is very quick. He's fast. Yeah. He's got good speed. He's got some length. There are certainly some skills there, some tools to work with.
Yeah, so those are my two big predictions. So there you go.
Thank you, Charlie.
Okay, guys. Take care.
And you know what? I really like Michael Thompson. I think he's a great kid, and I'm rooting for him because he's a really nice kid.
Can't stay on the field up to this point.
And here's the thing, Paul. He was a sixth-round pick right when he got picked. So, obviously, he was, sixth-round pick. You have an uphill battle to earn your way onto the field as a starter. Throw on top of that, he was a safety. Throw on top of that, he's had two extremely serious injuries in his first two seasons. So, you're going to a position that requires more athleticism coming off of two major leg injuries. It's a big ask. And again, I'm rooting for him. I hope he works out, but it's a big ask.
It is a big ask. It's definitely a big ask. But the fact that they've actually run him out there a little bit during the course of the spring in the slot tells you that at least they're open-minded to it, which gives him a better chance than not running those plays at all.
201-939-4513. This will be our last call. Then Paul and I are going to go through the Twitter.
Yeah, there's a lot of
bold
here.
Predictions. There are a lot of good ones. So let's go to Damian in Philadelphia. He'll be our final caller of the show. Hi, Damian.
How you doing, my man? How y'all doing?
Doing well, Damian. What's up, pal?
Yeah, I just got to say first, man, Charlie stole my thunder, man. He stole my thunder. I was just about to say the same thing about Baswati or whatever his name is.
Biznovati.
The tackle.
Yeah, well, Biznovati, you like him a lot, huh?
Yeah, I think he anybody's better right now than Marshall Newhouse at right tackle. I think he's going to start.
Well, Newhouse is gone.
Yeah, Newhouse isn't on the roster anymore, Damian. You got Bobby Hart over there.
Oh, he's not?
No, sir.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, that's my fault.
That's all right. Yeah, right now, Marshall Newhouse right now apparently is the upper hand to be the starting right tackle in Oakland, believe it or not.
Pretty wild.
Oh, okay. But I think the boy, what's his name, is going to start the season, and I like him a lot. He has good footwork and stuff like that, I must say.
Okay.
I'm not really sure about his handwork and stuff, but his footwork is actually pretty good from what I've seen. Now, I haven't really – if y'all get a chance, I mean, it's kind of late now in the show, but if y'all get a chance, just let me know, if he looks good and stuff, because I really haven't heard nobody talking about him. But from what I've seen, the little clips in minicamp, he looks pretty good.
We will watch it when the pads go on next week.
Yep. That's always the key.
Right. Thank you very much. Y'all have a good day, all right?
Hey, you too, Damian. Appreciate the call.
All right.
I tell you, the kid made a good impression in the spring with his attitude, his effort, his energy, willing to do anything to help his quarterback out. Look, I think he's going to make the team. The question is, how much can he push Bobby Hart at right tackle? Because I think Bobby Hart's improved himself. So it's going to be a fun year for competition.
All right, so let's go one by one here. I'm going to try to write down as many of these as I can. Start off with Patricio Agatiello. Right,
you're going to the top.
I'll go top first, and I'll work my way down. Devin Taylor will be second on the Giants in sacks. That's a good one. I don't think it's going to happen, but it's a good one.
I think it's a reach. But then again, a bold prediction has to be a reach. So,
well, maybe this way, I would not be surprised if he was third.
I wouldn't either.
That's why second makes. That's why second's bold. Third okay. wouldn't be bold enough. Second is bold.
This is true.
Okay, what's the next one you like? Charlie G's too much of a stretch for me. I can't give him that. Now you can. Now how about this? I'm going to change Charlie G's for him. How about that? All right, Charlie G, and this is at @G68_Charlie. He had put down 4,000-yard receivers this year. Beckham, Marshall, Ingram, and Perkins. How about this? Four players with 1,000 yards from scrimmage. That's at least plausible.
Yes, it is plausible. Yes, it is plausible. Donald Rosen has one that we never really talk about when we deal with these kinds of fact or fiction questions or over-under questions. Donald Rosen says Brad Wing will have the best net average in the NFC. Which, of course, has a lot to do with the coverage units, not just Brad Wing's ability to kick the ball. There's a lot that has to go into that. So I think that is a bold prediction because so many different factors can change that number. So, I like that as a bold prediction, and I certainly think he's capable of doing his part in making that happen.
I like that one. That is a good one. Best net punting average. Let's see. What else do we got here? Oh, Vic Fontana, who's usually very positive. At NFL NYG 43, his unfortunate bold prediction is that the Giants will finish 9-7 and not make the playoffs.
It's plausible.
I don't know if it's bold, to be honest with you.
I don't know if it's bold either.
And then the Giants won 10 games last year. They're coming back with relatively the same team, except with some additions, obviously, the draft picks and Brandon Marshall. But that's not bad. I'll put that in there. But usually we don't do records until we get to closer to the season.
Well, double digits last season, and 11 last year.
I said 11-5. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
of course.
And they're going to have to play at least as well, if not better, to win 11 this season. I think we all agree with that because of the schedule being much more difficult. This one's pretty wild.
Jay in England, that one. 51 touchdowns for Eli Manning?
No, Ben Gruen. Very bold prediction. Perkins finds a way to rush for 1,000 yards.
I don't think that's bold.
You don't?
If I was going to be really bold, I would say Paul Perkins, 1,200 yards rushing.
But is he – do we know he's really going to get – because you got to figure, to get 1,000 yards, he's going to need a minimum of 200 carries because that's 5 yards a carry.
And that's
– minimum of 200
carries.
And that's
the equivalent of 12 carries a game.
Are we sure?
If he doesn't get 12 carries a game, I'd be very surprised.
I would hope he does.
I bet you he'll average somewhere between 14 and 17 carries a game.
I hope so. I'm still caught up on the fact that he's going to carry the ball about 14 times a game and get 3 or 4 touches through the air and give him about 17 touches, 18 touches a game total. So I think he's probably going to be right around that number, to be honest with you, John. But anyway.
You know me. I'm the cheerleader of the Paul Perkins fan club.
I love Paul Perkins. By the way, 1,200 is a much more bold prediction.
Ed DiPonzio, I'm guessing he's a Notre Dame alum. Jaron Jones will make the practice squad as an offensive lineman after switching sides. Actually, I take that back. I thought he said 53. Practice squad is more realistic. Saying 53 would have been a little bonkos, but practice squad is realistic. So I got that one for you. Ed? Another one from Patricio Agatiello. Four players will have 4+ interceptions. What do you think about that one? It's interesting. I think 3 would have been more realistic.
Yeah.
4 is tough. I think 3 is bold but possible.
That's a lot of turnovers.
That's a on 16 interceptions right there.
This is the other one. Freddie says, prediction for training camp, Dante Dion will make the 53 and become the backup slot corner. I don't know that that's very bold. I really don't.
I mean, is there such thing as a backup slot corner? I guess there is.
Yeah.
I guess.
That's the problem, unfortunately. I don't think he's got the size to be able to back up anybody on the outside. If he does make the team, that's his job. And you guys know I'm a big, big proponent of Dante Dion. But he's going to have to kick some butt on special teams, much like Charles James some years ago. That's going to be a big separator for him if he's going to survive the roster. So, got anybody else there that you like?
At Unleashing Havoc, G-Men cream the Cowboys in week one. Brandon Marshall, 2 touchdowns. Eli throws for 4.
Whoa. How about Lewis up top?
Oh, that's a good one. I like that one. Read it.
Aldrick Rosas will kick a 60-yard game-winning field goal. That's a good bold prediction. Certainly plausible with the leg strength that he has.
How about 55-plus? Is that fair? In fact, a 50-yard game-winning field goal would be, I think, even a bold prediction.
Well, no Giant has ever hit a 60-yarder, that'd be a team record.
Well, I think we also need to determine what the game-winning means. You know, does he kick a go-ahead?
I think any time in the final minute.
Yeah, I think if you want to go by official rules and how they track things, if a guy hits a go-ahead field goal with 10 minutes to go in the fourth quarter, it's a game-winning field goal.
And
that, to me,
in the spirit of this, I think you're talking final minute.
I think any time under the two-minute warning. If you're under the two-minute warning and you kick a field goal to take the lead, that's a pretty high-pressure kick. Because here's why it is.
Don't think you're getting ball back.
No, because if you miss it, the game's over.
Yeah, that's good. I'll go with that.
Okay, so we're going to put in parentheses under 2 minutes. Okay?
All right. Good stuff.
I think that's all of them.
Okay.
Guys, I got to tell you, fantastic job on the phones today. I was trying to figure out what to do today. We do a little preview. Both predictions really worked out. This was great.
By the way, I believe it was, I want to get this in, John.
And by the way, at I Believe Blue, 75-89, Bowman will be the exclusive short yardage back. I think that's okay.
Why not? There was one other bold prediction that kind of started us on this conversation before the show began, John, and we were saying, oh, maybe what are some of the things we could talk about? And I can't remember if it was NFL or ESPN, and they predicted the top headlines for each month of the NFL season. Their headline for February was Eli Manning beats Tom Brady in the Super Bowl for the third time. Giants knock off the Patriots 23-20. I had to get that out there for you folks because I don't know how many of you saw the story, but that certainly would be one to put a smile on a lot of people's faces in the New York area.
Folks, I got a sheet full of predictions here. It's going up on the wall, and we'll address these at the end of the season. And we'll do another one of these shows, by the way, for season bold predictions when we get to the end of the end of camp. And maybe we'll even do some for the 53-man roster. We'll do predictions for that, too, when we get closer. But it's too early for that. So I figured we would just go with camp predictions today and kind of see what happens. And, yeah, boy, that would be a real happy February for Giant fans everywhere. And, boy, that's the one hump Patriot fans haven't gotten over yet, or the Patriots haven't gotten over yet. The one hump.
I'm not crying for them.
Why would you? Four Super Bowls is pretty good in an era with the same quarterback and same coach. Anyway, great job on the phones, everybody. For Paul Dottino, I'm John Schmelk. Next couple days, it's Dottino and Meadow until the end of the week. Thank you so much for joining us, and we'll see you next time on Giants.com, everybody. Have a great day.